John's Gospel, chapter 6, please. Verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise, not now, not ever, cast out. Now maybe you don't have any interest in being welcomed, received by some important person in this world. Maybe you have never aspired to visit some political figure or go knocking on the door and just have them swing the door wide open and say, like the Irish say, you're welcome here. That may have absolutely no appeal to you, but it is a wonderful thing that we have read the words of the Lord Jesus, that he is ready to welcome you tonight. And I would hope that there is not one person in this meeting but is interested in this great matter, that there is a Savior who is ready to welcome you tonight. There is a heaven that is available to every soul in this gospel meeting this evening. And it is possible for you to receive a welcome to God's eternal home. The Lord Jesus says so simply, so clearly, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So let me speak to you first of all about his willingness to save all who come. Could you ever question his willingness? If you understand that in order to welcome men and women and boys and girls, he actually went to the cross. I suppose it's clear to everybody that's here tonight that not one sinful, guilty, unworthy person could ever be in heaven as he is. Not one person who is born a sinner, not one person who has chosen to sin, could ever be in God's heaven. There are people, I hope it's not true of anyone here tonight, but there are people who figure that everyone is entitled to heaven. When this life is over, everybody just goes to heaven. There are a few notable exceptions to that, but not in our meeting tonight. I want you to know tonight that no one deserves to be in heaven. Heaven is not a birthright to us. In fact, because of sin, we don't deserve to continue living here, but God kindly gives us life. And if we leave this world without knowing our sins forgiven, it is not heaven, but hell that will be our eternal home. So that if I told you tonight that the Lord Jesus is willing to welcome you, and you understood that he paid a tremendous price to welcome sinners, you could never question that welcome. Let me just tell you tonight that in order to welcome me to heaven, in order to receive me and you, he must be the sacrifice to put away sins. And there is a truth that I am increasingly overawed with. It is the truth that God became man. And when he came as a man, he lacked absolutely nothing of eternal deity. All that he ever was, God transcendent, unoriginated, holy. All that he ever was, he retained when he came in the virgin's womb. And he took to himself a body. Now, we're pretty big-looking people to each other, aren't we? I mean, there are some people that are just a few inches taller than the rest of us, and they're very impressive. Big. But you just have to see Earth, that picture of the Earth taken from the moon, and suddenly you begin to realize we're just pretty small dust in a vast universe. And you and I can't grasp how vast the universe is. And from totally beyond this universe, because the universe itself could never contain him, it's just a part of what he did. He spoke. And measureless space came into existence. Studded with the angelic host and the far-flung paths of the stars. And God became man. He visited one planet. He took to himself humanity, totally apart from sin. And you would think, have I just painted the picture somehow to convey to you that when he came, you would expect that the streets would be lined with grateful citizens of earth, and they would have said, "Welcome! We are delighted you have come. You have told us in your unerring word down through the long centuries that you would come. You have told us where you would come. You have told us approximately when you would come. And you have come, glory to God," and bowed at his feet to welcome him to earth. If angels hadn't alerted shepherds, they wouldn't have come. And the high rank of society never had a ripple at his coming. He came unsought, unwanted, unwelcomed. To his own planet, because he was coming to an alien race who had no place for him. And he came to our world. He came as a man, a babe, a child, a young man, to be despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He came as a man whose heart was deeply burdened, and there was no one actually to share his burden among all the sons of men. A lonely man, until one day he had blessed the thousands with food. He had given them truths as they had never heard before. He had performed miracles that no man could perform. Eyes to a man who had never seen. Life to a body gone to corruption. And the citizens of earth gathered before him and they said, "Away with him. Crucify him." I love to just trace the arrest of our Lord Jesus. It's all a plot that's very carefully planned. And Judas, the betrayer, has gone to pay, to receive the money. He has gone to get a little band of soldiers
to go out to the place where he knew they would find him. He would be there with 11 others, but none of them could fight nor soldiers. He would be all alone in that garden to be arrested by men. And so they go out with their little army of 10 soldiers. Oh no, they were soldiers. And instead of finding him hiding somewhere in the garden, he steps out before that army and says, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he said, "I am." The majestic title of deity. I am. And the 10 soldiers who had all they needed to arrest anyone went backward and fell to the ground. They couldn't touch him. Just a word. You could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set them free. But the glorious truth is, he stepped forward and said, "If you seek me, let these go their way." And he handed them his wrist. Why did they even bother to bind his wrist? They couldn't have held him. And he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. One word, and the army went backward and fell to the ground. One word, he could have dispelled them all to eternal night. He was silent. He went to Calvary willingly. There was no other way that God could bless men and women. Do you understand tonight that the heart of God could devise no other way to bless a race of rebel sinners apart from Calvary? And Father and Son, you could not see it visibly, but Father and Son moved onward to Calvary. This is the greatest work that the Godhead will ever undertake. Did I say that too quickly? Let my heart bow and worship. This is the greatest work that the Godhead will ever undertake. And should there be other works that God pursues, I don't know about eternity, past or eternity to come. God is far too great for me to think I have grasped all that God will ever do. But I can tell you tonight with absolute confidence, this is the greatest work that God will ever do. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And in marvelous love, God's eternal Son moved onward to Calvary. Lowly, submissive, shamed, scorned, crucified. And I do want to remind you again tonight, he knew every step that was coming. I love those words again from that same arrest passage. Jesus, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth. No surprises. It was known to him from eternity. No surprises. He had known it when he came. And he went onward to Calvary, never missing one step, because he was going to save the lost. Not one soul could ever be welcomed by him unless he goes to Calvary, extends his hands to be impaled upon a cross. Was love that sought Gethsemane, or Judas ne'er had found him. 'Twas love that bound thee to the tree, or iron ne'er had bound thee. And at Calvary, in mighty love, he gave himself. He exposed his heart to the sword of divine justice. And the only way that sin could ever be dealt with that God could ever be satisfied about your sin, about my sin, about the tragic offense of sin to the Almighty. He gave Himself at Calvary. Oh, the mighty love of Christ. And do you think tonight He would have suffered all of that? And not be interested in receiving you? That He would have been willing to bear all that mighty weight of sin and then hesitate to welcome a sinner? Oh, I want you to know there's a Savior tonight who is willing. And perhaps there are some in the meeting and your mind has already gone to the words of the Lord Jesus. These words are flowing from His heart more than once. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets, how often would I have gathered together thy children as a hen doth gather her brood under beneath her wings, and ye would not. How often would I, ye would not. And if tonight you are outside of Christ, let me tell you, it is not because He is unwilling. It is because you haven't come. He is willing to receive every soul. And the tears of that Savior, as He looks over that favored city, are flowing. Because I would, but ye would not. And still, His eye is downward bent and raised. Wherever in this wilderness there roams a child of woe, and the poet has put it this way, at the heart of God, deep breathing from the heart of God, I would, but you would not. Oh, tonight let me tell you that there's a Savior who longs to save you from your sins. There's a Savior who longs to deliver you from the wrath of God. There's a Savior who longs to receive you tonight. His willingness. Could I just go over some of the others who did come to the Lord Jesus and tell you about His welcome? I couldn't prove this conclusively, but I think the evidence is quite solid. There was one day a woman of the city, and everybody knew this about her. She is a sinner. And she listened to the gracious words of the Lord Jesus. I think what she heard was this. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I think, is it my imagination? I think her ears must have just almost moved. Did He say, rest? Did He say, for those that are weary and heavy laden, I am sick of sin? A life of brokenheartedness, chasing bottles, reaching for the wind, looking for something to satisfy. Oh, did He say rest? Is there a hope for a woman like me? The Pharisees have no word of mercy for me. They have absolutely no message of hope. And He has said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I wonder, is there some weary, some heavy laden soul in the gospel meeting tonight, conscious of the burden of sin, weary of trying to find something of rest and peace in this dark world? Listen to the words of this gracious Savior. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I think her heart responds to His words. And she starts to come to Him, but He's gone into the home of Simon the Pharisee. And she didn't even wait for Simon to say, you're allowed in too, mistress. She just stepped in with the Lord Jesus. and she came behind him. She didn't have to come to him physically. She had already come to him. And now she just comes to him physically. And she's so grateful. Her eyes just can't hold back the tears. And as the Lord Jesus reclines at the table, she comes behind him where he is and she begins to wash his feet. I wish there were more time that I could wash his feet next year. She washed his feet with her tears. She had no towel to wipe the feet, so she took the hairs of her head and wiped his feet with her hair. And Simon was indignant. Don't you know why she's here?
And if he's a prophet, I don't know why he's allowing her to do that.
He was a prophet and more than a prophet. He says, Simon, I'll just ask you a question. He asks him the question. He points out to Simon that the reason she is doing this is because she loves much. Because, says the Lord Jesus, her sins have been forgiven.
What did she do to earn the forgiveness of sins? She did nothing.
She came to him.
And in all her need, weary and heavy laden, she just came to him, and her sins were forgiven.
And she appreciated it. I want to tell you today, I'm only one of a lot of people in this movie that appreciate that. Because here's a woman so sinful, but she came, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You know what the Lord Jesus said to this woman? That was thrilling. I think she remembered this for the rest of her life. Poor old Simon, the host, he was not too happy she was here. He would have liked to have said to her, go. The Lord Jesus said to her, go. He said, go into peace. He said, this is so ridiculous. What the Lord Jesus says? You see, down at the end of that tunnel that seemed to have no light at all or something? Look down at the end of the tunnel, the sun rises. Go in peace. And as she steps from his presence, she knows her sins are forgiven. She has his own word that her sins which are made have been forgiven. And she steps out of his presence into the sunshine of heaven's eyes. Peace for this world. Now, peace to the world of God. She came to her in all her need.
And so did Nicodemus. Good, righteous, religious, upright.
She came to him. He came to him.
And he came to him by name. Now, I want you to know
that if he hadn't listened to what the Lord Jesus said, he would have gone away a sad man. And I cannot tell you this with authority either, but I think he will see before you go back to the presence of Jesus.
And that's one of the things I'm interested in talking about.
I believe in that. So if I find Nicodemus out there, I'm going to just talk to him and say, Nicodemus, what do you say? Was it through John 3 and verse 15?
I think you might even look at me and say 3 and 16. The Bible was numbered that way when I saw
it. But I think you might even see it just here. But you see, it all depended on this. Will he bow to the Lord Jesus said?
Nicodemus,
you're a good man. Can't be in heaven. You need a total change from the inside out. And unless you're willing to acknowledge your weak need, your thorough need, unless you're willing to acknowledge you need eternal life, you need to be born again.
Nicodemus, you are kind,
but you'll never enjoy the blessing until you're willing to acknowledge your need.
I think I learned a tremendous truth in this.
Because there are a lot of people that talk about coming, but they're never willing to acknowledge their need.
Too good. To come as sinners.
Too good to come as needy.
too good to come is unworthy. They're searching around for something to give to the Lord. And they're telling the Lord, now look, because of this, I think maybe this is what you were wanting me to do. And this is the reason why I should be received. Will you understand tonight that this man receiveth sinners?
And there's not a sinner that comes to the Lord Jesus. He's God. And he's waiting tonight for you to simply bow to themselves. To acknowledge your guilt, your sin, your total unworthiness. And him that cometh today, I will no wise cast out.
There was a woman that came in John chapter 4. Well, he came to her.
And he's offering to her the gift of eternal life and satisfaction. She came.
She was a pretty unlikely person. But she had all kinds of questions about religion. She tried to put up a smoke screen about her religion versus your religion.
But I just want to tell you before I finish about his word. I want you to understand he is giving you his word.
In the back of my mind is a story I remember about a young woman.
No, not an older woman. Visiting her father, who was dying. Her father was not saved, her daughter was saved. Deeply concerned about her father, just days before he's going to be in eternity. She's prayed for him all her life since she was saved. And she comes to him now, speaking of another soul, for a moment. He says to her, Doris, I have tried to come many times, but I haven't received my heart. And God's answer was that in my life. You can't be right. Because he has said, him that comes to me, I will know that. I want you to know tonight there's no merit in anything you can do. You cannot make yourself fit to be received by the Savior. If you come in all your sin, with all your preconceived notions of success,
with all your figuring out of salvation and how this works and how that works, and what I'm supposed to do, and what I'm supposed to feel.
And I don't think tonight that I could be saved, because I just don't think I have the right theory. I don't think I answered it up. I don't think I... Are you needy enough tonight to come to Christ? Are you so helpless that you cannot save yourself? Are you so unworthy that if you die as you are, there's no place in heaven for you, and you're willing to acknowledge that God is ready? He that cometh to me is his own word. Him that cometh to me, no other hope, no other plea, he took my place. He died for me. Oh, precious Lamb of Calvary. He took my place. He died for me. Him that comes to me.
Will feel welcomed? That's better than that.
Him that comes to me. I will know. Guilty, unworthy, with only the value of his cross enough to afford you a welcome. Will you come tonight? Will you understand what he did at Calvary is all that's required? And he'll welcome you tonight. Remove every sin. Calvary is enough. And he waits just at this moment.
Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise, not tonight, and not ever. If you come to him now,
He will secure you forever through what he accomplished at Calvary. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise.